Hey everyone, you may have noticed that we have awesome new artwork for our podcast. Kayla Wassel made us a great new logo and banner art, and you'll see it on our SoundCloud and our Twitter feed as well. Thank you so much, Kayla. We love it so much. Her Twitter handle is at Kayla M. Wassel. That's W-A-S-I-L. She's the best. And
one,
now,
two,
Song
three,
Salad.
Four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott. Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're here for you.
Sorry. It's hot in here again.
Oh, gosh. We can't let the heat get the best of us. We have to deliver premium content for our loyal listeners.
If we can't take the heat, we should get out of the kitchen.
The salad kitchen.
The salad
where
kitchen.
We mix up salads. If you can't take the heat, don't go to the salad bar.
Ew.
What's a song salad?
A song salad is a song that we write in a random style of music about a random topic.
Love it. And so will you. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep. You're cool. Just look, we don't need to fart around.
Well, you started the episode by farting.
I did. With my mouth.
And for real, you're lucky you're not here, listener.
Thanks for putting me on blast.
Let's go to moodfuse.com, which sounds like Shannon tootin'.
Oh my God!
Children's music!
Yes!
That's awesome.
Okay, so maybe children's music is a very broad genre.
But we're doing
it. Yeah, we're definitely doing it. Also, super creepy thing that Moodfuse does is it puts a,
I didn't even notice that.
It puts an adjective with the music genre
when you're populate on Moodfuse, a playlist. Yeah, you can basically choose like what mood you're in and then what kind of genre of music. And so this has romantic children's music. And the example is from Frozen in what looks like Swedish. Norwegian.
It's a little strange that all of the romantic children music, as Moodfuse calls it. Wait, Google children music just to make sure.
Wait. So, yeah, it's not children's music.
It's children music.
But I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah,
I think that's a typo.
I don't think it is either. But I just want to make sure that we're not getting ourselves into something.
No, it's
super
not. It's
weird.
Not a thing.
Okay, great.
It's children's music.
Yeah, okay.
So children's music is music composed and performed for children.
What?
Thanks, Wikipedia.
No. Oh, in European influence context, this means music, usually songs, written specifically for... Wait,
that's
in all
context.
That's
not just European.
The composers are usually adults.
So it's not music written by children, it's music written for children.
Cool.
It's historically held both entertainment and educational functions.
Okay.
Children's music is often designed to provide an entertaining means of teaching children about their culture, other cultures, good behavior, facts, and skills. Many are folk songs, but there is a whole genre of educational music that has become increasingly popular.
How's it?
Well, like Raffi.
Sure, I don't know that I would call that increasingly popular.
I mean, increasing over, like, the last century.
Yeah, I guess century, but not, like today.
Well, I think what they mean is that rather than just nursery rhymes or folk songs, it's actual educational children's music being written for that purpose.
Like Schoolhouse Rock.
Like Schoolhouse Rock. Or also, like, there's a great They Might Be Giants album. There's a couple, actually.
Oh,
for
the
kids.
The sun is massive and can't have a guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, isn't that the Big Bang Theory theme song?
No, that's
I don't watch Big Bang
Theory. The Chinese chicken. Who are those people?
The Bare Naked Ladies.
They sing the Big Bang Theory theme song.
Yeah, but we'll use an example from that. They Might Be Giants album, because that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about the history of children's music?
Yeah, this is going to be so fun. So, the history of children's music runs parallel, more or less, to the history of music recording as we know it.
Okay.
So, the first words that were ever recorded in 1860 was the first verse of a French children's song, Au Clair de la Lune.
Ah.
And then Mother Goose nursery rhymes were available on recorded plates as early as 1888.
Wow.
And then throughout the early 20th century and then through the 30s, 40s, and 50s, companies were producing albums that were either based on popular cartoons or nursery rhymes. And then Disney really kind of stepped in here.
Right.
And the first sort of popular Disney songs were from the 1930s, Minnie's Yoo-Hoo from a Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Okay.
And then
I don't know why Mickey's singing about Minnie's Yoo-Hoo.
I know. It's a romantic children's song. Mm. And then their first full-length animated feature, of course, was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes.
Which gave us such classics as Whistle While You Work, Someday My Prince Will Come, and Hi Ho, which really is just the beginning of Whistle While You Work, isn't it?
You know? They're different songs.
No, but like in the beginning, they're like, Hi Ho.
No, Hi Ho, Hi Ho, it's off to work we go. It's a separate song. Then Whistle While You Work.
Yeah, but at the beginning of...
I haven't seen it in forever. Maybe they're together.
No, they like lead into each other or something. Anyway, whatever. Not important. So Disney, of course, continued that trend throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then into our childhoods in the 80s
and 90s. With the best children's music ever written.
Yes.
Thank you, Alan Menken.
The Little Mermaid, of course, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King, Pocahontas. And
Under the Sea won an Oscar for Best Song from Little Mermaid in 1989. Which was the first movie I ever saw in theaters.
Actually, all of those musicals, or all of those Disney movies that we just mentioned, won Best Song Oscars. The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, and Pocahontas.
Nice.
That's crazy. But in between, so Disney was kind of doing its Disney thing.
Disney
was being Disney.
did you say Disney?
Yeah,
Disney was being Disney.
But other really important figures in the history of children's music were the Chipmunks, Sherry Lewis, who did Lamb Chop, Sharon Lois and Bram, also Peter, Paul, and Mary,
mm-hmm.
and then Sesame Street, of course, is another huge source of music for kids.
Oh, and you skipped Captain Kangaroo, too.
Oh, shoot. Yes, Captain Kangaroo. And Sesame Street has been running since 1969.
Awesome.
And it's won 11 Grammys for its music.
That's cool.
And then in the 70s, you might remember Schoolhouse Rock.
Don't remember the 70s, but I remember Schoolhouse Rock.
Yes, which we would listen to all the time. I can sing so many Schoolhouse Rock songs purely from memory. I can recite the preamble of the Constitution because of Schoolhouse Rock.
Thank you, Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, I know. And then, of course, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Also a big source of music growing up.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah. No. I will not be your neighbor. And then we get to Raffy.
Good old Raffy.
I'm sure you have heard of.
From
songs like this one.
Here's our example. Baby Beluga.
By Raffy.
Shall we sing Baby Beluga together? A one and a two and a three and a four and bop, 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 bop. So wild and you swim so free. Heaven above, sea below, and the little white whale on the go.
You know what we didn't mention?
What?
Barney.
For good reason. No, I'm kidding. Barney was great.
Barney was great. Adam Gopnik, who's a really famous writer, especially for The New Yorker, in his book, he talks about raising his kids in France and purposely keeping them away from Barney.
Why?
Because it's like crack for kids.
Oh.
And once they watch it, they demand to watch it all the time. And then he like left his daughter with some friends and they showed her Barney.
No.
And then she lost her little mind and insisted on getting Barney tapes. But you also mentioned that there are, like, actually like pop and rock bands that sometimes do children's music.
Right. The one that I was specifically thinking of was They Might Be Giants has a great album called No, full of really like funny and quirky songs. Like I would recommend listening to I Am Not Your Broom, which is really funny. And also, we didn't talk about the VeggieTales.
We didn't talk about VeggieTales,
which I know my fiance grew up on and still sings sometimes.
And the Wiggles were another one.
Mm-hmm.
Even Teletubbies, I feel like, had a lot of music. I think it's like because it's so brainwashy for like kids to like. I don't know. Music just has a kind of entrancing quality to it and really captures attention.
More so than just speaking, to the kids.
So.
And it's easy to grasp concepts if they rhyme and if they
are memorable.
Are memorable and easy to sing. So a lot of the melodies of these songs are very simple and repetitious. Easy to grasp onto. And also that includes being in a very small vocal range because you want to have the kids be able to sing along. Mm-hmm. If you have a complex melody that is like a wide vocal range, kids aren't developed enough to sing along. So you need to keep it in a range that a kid can sing.
That makes sense.
And some of the typical instruments used for children's music, especially like the earlier kind of folk children's music, is just simple piano and voice or guitar and voice. Maybe drums and some, you know, easy to play instruments for kids too, like little xylophones or celeste kind of sounds.
Recorders?
Recorder.
Do you remember playing recorders?
A lot of the instruments that we used in our theme song.
Yes, actually.
We could use for this song too.
Yeah. I remember in, I don't remember what grade it was, maybe like second or third grade, when we were learning how to play recorders in music class. Mm-hmm. If you blew your recorder when you weren't supposed to, your recorder was taken away and you were given a popsicle stick with Page Saver like stickers on it so that you could still do the fingerings.
But you weren't allowed to make noise?
Yeah, you couldn't make noise.
That's hilarious. Did that happen to you?
No, it didn't. Because I was an enormous goody-goody two-shoes.
Of course you were.
Yep.
So that's children's music, and I'm really interested to see what our topic will be.
I'm terrified.
I kind of wish we had gotten Jonathan, a German vampire movie. Yeah.
That'd be really funny. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Spin the salad spinner, which sounds like
my farts, Shannon apparently. Tootin'. Great.
Yep.
Oh, that was so relaxing.
Just loose. United States champion thoroughbred trainers by earnings.
Guys, this is a long list, 100-year long list of the most well compensated champion thoroughbred trainer in each year whose horses earned the most purse money in the North American thoroughbred racing circuit.
And that includes Canada. It wants you to know that.
It's literally a list of 100, I'm guessing, all white men.
I'm looking, scanning for any female names. I don't
sure there are no female
names.
And it's a lot of the same name over and over.
Well,
and over
again. From 1983 to 1992 was all the same. Well, actually, to 1997, with the exception of 1 year, was all the same person.
Dwayne Lucas.
He must be
a
good trainer.
So how many individual names are there on this list?
Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. That's it.
So there's only 37 different men in the last 100 years.
That were the top earners.
In champion thoroughbred training.
So are we going to do a children's song that's an educational list of these 37 men?
It'll be like the president's song.
Yeah.
Or the 50 states
or
song.
The 50 nifty United States.
Yeah.
So should we do like an intro That's sort of like the 50 nifty United States. And then just list all these names.
I'll make them like rhyme in some way.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be great.
Do we want to do anything with the amounts of money that they've earned? And here's a crazy thing. The differences in how much money. So the first year that there are records is 1908. And this dude, James G. Rowe Sr., made $284,335. And then 3 years later, the top earner earned $49,000. So there's this enormous span.
Right. And then it gets a little bit more consistent until you get up to... Well, look at this. This is a huge jump. So it took all the way until... Well, here we go. 1988.
I feel like compared to...
Dwayne Lucas.
Between 84 and 85, there's the jump.
Yeah.
So between 84 was like 5.8 million, and then 85 was 11.1. That's right. Double.
In 88, the same guy made 17.8 million, but in 2008, the most recent listing here, Steve Osmussen made $24.2 million from his thoroughbred training. And the year before that, Todd A. Pletcher made $28.1 million. I think that's the highest number on this list.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know there was so much money in thoroughbred training.
Didn't.
Why would I think about it? Why would that thought ever cross my mind?
Because you weren't taught it as a child.
Well, now every child in America that hears this song is going to learn about the United States champion thoroughbred trainers by earnings. Let's do it.
Oh, man. At least I don't have to like write that many lyrics.
Just an intro and then figure out how we should order these names. And I'm going to pick which instruments I want to use.
Okay. That took a really long time.
It was worth it. I ate my dinner while Shannon wrote these lyrics, guys.
Yeah. I have the lyrics.
Please read them now.
Okay. So I'll start out slow. Or like
with
as an
intro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most people have two legs, but if you don't, that's okay. Just make them
keep
feel
going,
good.
Keep going. Kids.
Though we'd all run much faster on four. So throughout history, there's a list of men you see that have trained our furry friends to run with us on their backs to monetary glory. So that'll be like all drawn out or whatever. So then, so here's something I noticed about the list.
Yeah.
There were groups of men who all had the same name.
Same first name.
First name.
Yeah.
So first, the Johns. There's Shore and Gaver Sr. and Van Berg and Birch, though those two played a trick with Jack and Jay. The Bobs are next in line. Smith and Frankel are just fine, with Baffert and McGarvey on the way. William has a lovely ring with a certain pairing, like William Bringlow, William Moulter, and Winfrey. And James tends to go best with Fitzsimmons, Rao, and yes, it's everyone's favorite, Big Jim Healy. But who's left? Okay, everybody.
Sing along.
There's another Birch, son of the first, another Smith, a Benson, and don't forget a Sand in there as well. Misters Hildreth, Bedwell, Tompkins, Harlan, Stotler, Lucas, Jacobs, Tenney, Trotsick, and Futstel. Ben and Horace were related, a papa and his boy, but don't forget Todd and Steve and Laz. Charlie was a Whittingham, and Poncho was the man, and last but not least, Edward A. Nalloy.
Wow. I can't believe you did that.
I know.
That's really impressive.
Should I rearrange boy and Nalloy? It didn't line
up.
Well,
Laz is what you want the rhyme to be.
Yeah. Fix it!
So the solution is... Ben and Horace were related, a papa and his boy, but don't forget Todd and Steve and Laz. Charlie was a Whittingham, and Poncho was the man, but Edward A. Nalloy was just a spaz.
Boom! Poetry!
I love it. And what should we leave them on? I think we need to say one final thing about the list. As you may be hearing, I've got a guitar in my hands.
Yeah, talk about some stuff and I'll finish the song.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to play, we're going to try to record this like completely live with both of us singing together and me playing guitar.
Good luck.
And you playing Egg Shaker.
Cool.
And
wait, you want me to sing and keep rhythm?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's going to be great. We're going to be a very amateur children's band, which we need to talk about that too in a second.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be guitar, vocals, and the Egg Shaker. And then in post, I'm going to put a little bit of xylophone over it too.
Cool.
Speaking of being a band, a lot of these children's groups have fun names like the Wiggles and... there was another one that was like the Dirty Socks.
Yeah, Dirty Sock Rockapella Band,
right,
or something
like that. Not Rockapella, but close. So I think we need to come up with a band name, too.
Yes, I think that we do. I think I know what our band name should be.
What?
It should be called Mostly White Men.
Mostly White
Mostly
Men.
White Men, comma, or colon, for kids.
For kids. Question mark?
Question mark? Romantic children's music? Question mark? Okay, I have the end of the song.
Read it.
So now you get the gist of the men who made the list of the richest horsey teachers in the land. And when you sing this song, you know you can't go wrong by just shouting John or William with the band.
Awesome. I think we're ready.
This is going to be a train wreck.
Well, we're going to rehearse it a couple times.
Okay, okay.
But this is going to be... Wait, what's the title? We don't have a title yet.
Too Many Johns? Horsey Teachers.
Horsey Teachers.
Horsey Teachers?
Yes, all for
right.
Sure.
Horsey
this
Teachers.
This is Horsey Teachers by Mostly White Men.
Most people have two legs, but if you don't, that's okay. Though we'd all run much faster on four. So throughout history, there's a list of men you see. They've trained our furry friends to run with us on their backs to monetary glory.
First, the Johns. A 1, 2, 3.
There's Schorngaber Sr. and Bamberg and Birch. Though those two played a trick with Jack and Jay. The Bobs are next in line, Smith and Frankel are just fine, with Baffert and McGarvey on the way. William has a lovely ring with a certain pairing, like William Bringlow, William Moulter, and Winfrey. And James tends to go best with Fitzsimmons, Roland, yes, it's everyone's favorite James, Big Jim Healy.
But who's left?
Okay, everybody, sing along.
1, 2, 3.
There's another Birch, son of the first, another Smith, the Benson, and don't forget a Sand in there as well. Mr. Hildreth, Medwell, Tompkins, Harler, Stolder, Lucas, Jacobs, Tenney, Trotsick, and Fusell. Ben and Horace were related, a papa and his boy, but don't forget Todd and Stephen Laz. Charlie was a Whittingham, and Pacho was the man, but Edward and Aloy was just a spaz. So now you get the gist of the men who made the list of the richest horsey teachers in the land. And when you sing this song, you know you can't go wrong by just shouting John or William. With the band.
A little bit of a departure compared to our last couple episodes.
Oh, but it was really good.
It was really good.
And
it was really good.
For all of you who are not us, you should know that we're so good at children's songs because we have previously written a children's musical.
We've done a lot with children's music, actually, because we have a children's musical and we wrote a like quasi Pixar song.
Yeah, like a demo song.
But our children's musical,
the now defunct
The Swimmy Awards.
It was like the Grammy Awards, but it was for the ocean.
And it was all like parodies.
So stupid when I say it out loud.
It was all parodies of pop songs from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
well, not really parodies of pop songs, but parodies of artists.
Yeah.
So, like, instead of Mumford & Sons, it was Mumford & Sunfish. And instead of No Doubt, it was Penguin Stefani and No Flight.
And it was Beyonce Ray and Ray Z.
And
Jelly Ray Jepsen.
And Jelly Clarkson, Clarkson. Sailor Swift.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot going on. Entered that in a contest and did not win.
Shockingly, we did not win that contest. And
but we'll tweet out a demo or two from the Swimmy Awards just so you can hear an example of the failed musical.
But if you happen to be near the Monterey Bay Aquarium, go in and ask them why they didn't
choose the
Swimmy Awards for their aquarium show.
The educational musical for Monterey Bay Aquarium.
It was very educational.
We're not bitter. We also have a song called California Call Me Home that I'm much more proud of.
Yes, that's true.
So if you go on the Scott Wasserman SoundCloud, you can hear California Call Me Home.
We can tweet that, too.
We'll tweet that, too.
You can hear the amazing Maggie McDowell Stallings. Broadway's own Maggie McDowell Stallings singing California Call Me Home. This was good. I feel rejuvenated.
Yeah?
By, like, the literal definition of the word, I am younger.
It was like a music palate cleanser.
It was a music palate cleanser.
Last week's episode was pretty intense musically.
Yeah.
And this was the opposite.
It was the opposite. We're like musically Benjamin Buttoning. Like back back to our infancy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good
Thanks
salad.
For tuning in to this salad for kids. This was off the kids menu.
Hot dog salad?
Hot dog salad.
That's not going to make sense to anybody.
But for those of you that do like that.
And you can follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. Review us. Rate us. Subscribe to us on iTunes, share us with your friends, and with your children.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're horsey teachers.
Mostly white men.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
We're
50% mostly white men.
Damn it.
Literally.
One, two, three, four. A one, two, three. There's Shore and Gabe, a senior. I fucked up already.